Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on May 12, 2016. On the call today, we have Jinson Olufier, Kevin Audrey, Lawrence Olale-Robert, Jay Chapman, Steve Del Bianco, Tim Smith, Barbara Warner, Chris Wilson, Andy Abrams, Jacqueline Russ, Hiba Hussein, Philip Corwin, Susan Kawaguchi, Denise Michelle, Alex Deacon, Paul Mitchell, and Claudia Selly. We also have Andrew Harris. We have apologies from Andrew Mack, Cecilia Smith, Jay Sadowski, Marilyn Cade, Marie Petullo, Steve Coates, Tim Chen, and Olga Yaglis. From staff, we have myself, Chantel Dirksen. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Chantel, and thanks, everyone, for participating in today's call. Let me first also, as many of you just saw on the BC list, Jay Sadowski just had a baby, so officially on the record, congratulate Jay and his family on the birth of their daughter, and we look forward to re-engaging with Jay when he's back from sort of paternity duty. So congratulations to Jay on that. Let's go ahead. Maybe I see Steve is available and ready and waiting. So why don't I go ahead and turn to Steve to look at the policy calendar, and then we can proceed from there. So Steve, if you're ready, let's go ahead and start. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. First thing I'll note is since our last call, we filed three comments, and they're at the top of the policy calendar. On the 30th of April, we filed a comment on the op plan and budget. And thanks for Jimson, Marilyn, and Denise. And I know we got a follow-up question from ICANN's staff about that. So let's be sure to follow up on that. Number two is on May the 5th, we filed a comment on the safeguards that mitigate DNS abuse. And if you recall, we filed them early because we had them ready and because we hoped that others would perhaps pick up on the specific things that we raised. This comment period closes on the 13th of May. There have been five comments filed so far, including ours. So if any of you are aware of other groups within CSG and other groups even outside of ICANN who might be inclined to support or amplify what we said, this would be a great time to forward them a link to our comment and tell them they've got a couple of days to get theirs in. And then on May the 10th, earlier this week, we filed a comment supporting the release of country and territory names in two .brand GTLDs, Toray and Pictet, thanks to Andy Abrams for getting that in. And I should have also said that with the GTLD safeguards, I wanted to thank Angie Graves, Andy Abrams, Denise Michelle, Olga Yagas, and you, Chris. Thanks very much for getting that done. So that's the comments we filed since the last call that we've had on the BC. When it comes to open public comments, this ought to be brief. If you scroll down on the policy calendar, there are only two open comments at this point that we need to probably focus on as a BC group. And the first one is the draft new bylaws for ICANN. These comments close on the 21st of May, and the point of this comment period is to assess whether the lawyers and the CCWG working group and CWG working group have faithfully translated the final reports that we all approved into bylaws language for ICANN. Because this isn't supposed to be an opportunity to add something that we wish we'd gotten. It's not an opportunity to argue with something we don't like. This is an exercise where we're all trying to stay very focused on a community worked so hard to approve those two final reports for the IANA stewardship transition and accountability. And now the key is to turn that into bylaws language. I have to say I'm amazed at how well it's gone to where there are only a handful of paragraphs in the draft bylaws where there's some question as to whether the actual bylaws legal language faithfully reflects what was in the report. And it isn't really about controversies that people are trying to fight old battles. It comes down to genuine differences on ambiguous language, for instance, or it comes down to the fact that the lawyers, from ICANN and our lawyers, when they put together the draft bylaws, in some cases they added a little something extra for clarity. And then the CCWG comes back and says, wait a minute, that doesn't clarify, that doesn't belong there. and that's the way we had conducted that. The first attachment to the policy calendar that I sent to all of you is a draft of the BC's comment on these bylaws, and I prepared that with the help of Denise Michelle. Thank you, Denise. And it really focuses only on a few areas. We basically have 5 points we're making in that comment. One of them with respect to how do you grandfather the current registrar registry agreements. And our point there is widely supported in the CCWG, and that is that the only agreements that are grandfathered are the registry and registrar agreements. Other agreements, particularly those that haven't even been written yet, shouldn't be part of that paragraph. That's a relatively easy one. And then Denise and I worked on three comments with respect to the reviews. That is to say, the affirmation of commitments reviews that are brought into ICANN's bylaws. We made a number of fine-tuning enhancements to those, and one of which had to do with the timing of the reviews. Instead of every 3 years, which was required under the affirmation and damn near impossible to do, we made it every 5 years. And that five-year flexibility has been twisted into a problem. There are some who suggest that because the who is review is already late, that we need to change the bylaw to create flexibility. And you'll see on page 2 where what Denise and I have suggested is that we're actually not concerned that the bylaws, when they go into effect, would immediately say that we're late on the who's review. We believe that applies the appropriate pressure to get it done as soon as possible. And Denise came up with some good text about the who's review, which is already late, right, under the affirmation, but we do want to have it focused tightly on implementation of who is one and the current who is policy. So the BC might be an outlier on this, and so I think that it might be helpful if we make sure all of us embrace this comment, and it might be one where we'll want to circulate to the intellectual property constituency to see if we can get them to support it as well. We made the same point on the Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review, the SSR review, and we believe that it's fine if the bylaws reflect that it's already overdue. That'll just increase the pressure. Now, the only potential downside of passing bylaws that say we're already late is that we're passing bylaws where we are aware that there is an apparent violation. But I don't believe that carries any risk at all. An IRP against ICANN saying that you're already late for review would result in exactly what we want. It would result in getting the review started. I don't believe there's any chance that it would be a community IRP. And the time it would take to do an IRP, we could have already started the review. So Denise and I are of a mind that it's fine for us to have the bylaws reflect the fact that it's supposed to be 5 years on the who is review. We're already late. Let's get it going. I'd like to take a cue on that to see if there's any further comments. I see Susan. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I absolutely agree with the comments. And on the GNSO call this morning, it was decided that the GNSO Council would deliver comments also. So Phil and I can make sure that the viewpoint is hopefully added to that, the GNSO Council comments.
Hey, Susan, thank you for doing that. And I should say that the individual in the CCWG who's most concerned about passing bylaws where there's already an apparent, you know, late violation was Alan Greenberg of ALAC, who's often a big ally of the BC, and I don't have any disparaging things to say about Alan, but he's a stickler for things like this just on the basis of being technically correct. I think he's fine with doing the review as soon as possible. I mean, I haven't heard anything from other people that believe that's the case, but I have a feeling that at council, the non-contract party house will not want to do the review of who is in the short term, but would prefer to stretch it out until we replace who is. That's my guess. You may run up against a buzzsaw on council.
Right. Well, we'll try to see what we can do about that then.
Unless there are any objections from the folks on the call, would it be okay if Susan and Phil at least share our draft within council? I know we have several days until we have to finalize it, but is there any objections to having our draft be circulated with council? All right, seeing none, Susan, why don't you and Phil see if you can get that into the mix? The only other comment in our bylaws was comment number two, and it has to do with the framework of interpretation on human rights. And that is a Workstream 2 project, and it will take a long time, and it will be extremely controversial, because human rights came up over and over again in discussing the CCWG accountability, and there was a fundamental disagreement about whether one would cherry-pick a few human rights, such as privacy, free expression, fair use, or something like that, or would it be all human rights, all 19 of the UN Declaration of Human Rights. And those all human rights include the right for creators to earn a living from their content. So there's a balance when you use all human rights, but if you can cherry-pick human rights, we believe that could be a real sore spot for ICANN. And the second would be our human rights things that would give rise to enforceability under an IRP. And I can tell you that most of the business community, all of the business community, was opposed to the idea that suddenly the UN Declaration of Human Rights or some subset of that would suddenly become enforceable actions that others could take against ICANN. Instead, we set it on language to say that ICANN would respect human rights as required by applicable law. Respect. So respecting human rights is something that's acceptable, but it should not go to the point of enforceability. And that's a long-winded way of explaining why comment two, we came up with the phrase at the bottom to say it's really about respecting human rights, and there is no bylaw in here anticipating that the human rights would be enforceable actions. Barbara, question from you?
Yes, I'm sorry, I was muted. I just wanted to say in support, sort of to backstop the BC's comments, that USCIB and our comments will be making a similar point concerning B through D in the grandfathering section, and also, too, we felt that the language pertaining to human rights was appropriately cabined in, if you will, to not expand ICANN's mission. Is that in accord with what the BC will be suggesting?
Slightly different, Barbara. If you please look at page two, item two. You'll see that I have quoted the text in the draft that was circulated for public comment, and it's broadly felt that it is ambiguous, that it creates an ambiguous expectation that the framework of interpretation in Workstream 2 could come up with enforceability, because it says the words except as provided herein. And that exception opens up the door to say that enforceability could become a reality. And that is why at the bottom in italics, you'll see what I came up with. It shall not obligate ICANN to enforce. So if your membership could see clear, it would be better that you supported our alternative text rather than what's in the current draft.
Okay, I will run that by them. Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
Thank you, Barbara. I'll take a cue now. Is there anyone else who wants to suggest other parts of the bylaws? And it is a pretty hefty document. I don't fault any of you for failing to read it. Are there any other parts of the draft bylaws that merit attention from the BC?
So, Steve, this is Chris. One slight thing I recognized in the bylaws, I think it's section 4.3A, maybe little 2. But anyway, it references the mission as ICANN's mission as using the pejorative limited technical. While I think ICANN's mission is largely technical, I think, at least certainly since the new GTLD rollout in the last few years, that there's more, ICANN does more than just purely a technical function. And so I thought, I suggest perhaps we consider, just with regard to bylaws, we simply just strike the words limited technical and just define missions defined in the bylaws and just simply refer to mission wherever possible, because it's already defined, rather than adding sort of pejorative adjectives to what the mission may or may not be. That's a suggestion for folks to think about.
Chris, thank you for that. The first thing I'll do is I'll check how well the draft tracks to the approved final report. Because if the words limited technical were in our approved final report, right, I won't be able to fight that battle at this point, because then we would be differing from the report. However, if our lawyers added or repeated that phrase in places that we didn't have in our report, I'll promise you that I'll indicate that that was unnecessary and doesn't match the report. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, you may be 100% correct, but if it's what we had in our final report, we're not going to be able to get it out of the bylaw. And I'll do that, okay?
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Good catch. I'm not seeing any other hands. And thanks again, Denise, for the help you gave me on those reviews. And then we did take the chance in our comment to point out that the ATRT3 review, while we're not quibbling with the bylaws language, we are reminding everybody of what the BC is saying, is that we prefer to finish Workstream 2 accountability items, because 6, 7 of them are squarely in the purview of ATRT. We prefer to finish them under Workstream 2 and then begin ATRT in 2018, which would be in keeping with the new bylaws. And the beauty of that approach is that Workstream 2 has far greater power to impose its recommendations over a board and management that doesn't want to accept them. ATRT has less power than Workstream 2 does. And ironically, to make this work, we have to say to the community that while the board was going to start ATRT 3 in 2017, it doesn't need to. The bylaws allow them to start it in 2018, and let's use the extra year for Workstream 2. So do not agree that the BC is being inconsistent. We are being consistent with what the bylaws require. And in two cases, it means that these reviews need to start right away, SSR and WHOIS. And in one case, the ATRT, it doesn't have to start until 2018. And so we are we're being principled about this and trying to get these reviews done on the schedule that the bylaws dictate. Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks, Steve, and apologies, I'm in transit, so it might be a little noisy here. Is there, what's your sense on whether we can be a little bit stronger than preferring that the SSR and WHOIS reviews be conducted as the current commitment requires? I haven't obviously been involved in these negotiations, so I defer to you on what's appropriate, but preference sounds a little weak to me, and what we're dealing with is an actual board resolution that directed staff to start the SSR and WHOIS reviews on specific dates. Those dates have passed, so that's the current mandate, and I would prefer, language that was a little stronger, requesting that they follow on current mandate.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Denise. And I used your footnotes citing the board-approved resolutions. And the word prefer is certainly not as strong as it could be. I don't think we can have the word demand, but I am happy to have suggestions about how the BC expressed its preference, its strong preference, in another phrase.
Can it just be we request that I can follow through on the board-approved start dates?
I'm happy to go with request. If anybody has better phrases, stick them in the chat. Thank you, Denise. Anything else? Okay. I'll add those two items. The next item on the policy calendar, and the only other public comment that's open, is the release of country and territory names for three well-known brands, Hyundai, Kia, and GoDaddy. And Andy Abrams has done a fabulous job on BC comments in the past. You'll note that ICANN finally acknowledged our request that when they put out these RCEPs, that they batch them together so that dot brands are together and not mixed in with open TLDs. I hope that they're doing it because we requested it and not just because that's the order in which they've been coming in. But at least in this case, we have that. Andy, you're on the call. Can I lean on you to do a Hyundai, Kia, and GoDaddy draft in the next several days?
Hi, Steve. It's Andy, of course.
Outstanding. Thanks again, Andy. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay, if you turn to Channel 2 in the policy calendar, we discuss counsel, What I've done here is indicate for you the previous meeting. I've indicated for you the minutes, the four resolutions they passed, and the transcript. And teeing this up for Susan and Phil, I'm sorry, Denise, is your hand up? Go ahead.
Yeah, just really quickly, since you're mentioning RCEP, I want to note that instead of doing a sort of more fulsome research analysis on the RCEP program over the last 10 years, staff posted basic data on a public web page, which is certainly useful to see that. However, they did ignore our specific request to provide data on public comments. And so, you know, we'll need to go back to them and specifically ask them to do that. I think part of what the BC will be interested in looking more holistically at this program is, since the purpose of it, in part, is to solicit and consider and, as appropriate, incorporate public comments. It's an important aspect of this program to actually look over the last 10 years at both the level of engagement, type of engagement, and the results of that engagement. So I feel pretty strongly that that's an important data point that's missing, that staff hasn't followed through on, and I'd like to see the BC reinforce that point again and see if we can get staff to provide the public with that data as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. I had noted this in the Channel 3 under the policy calendar on the RCEP analysis, and the ICANN response was probably not particularly tuned to the BC. It was part of the Global Domains Division operations metrics page. So, yeah, let's do that. Let's do an email from our chair to staff expressing, you know, appreciation for the operations metrics, but attaching and reiterating our earlier request for the public comment analysis. Chris and I can draft that, let you get a look at it, and then send it over. It's just a follow-up to a previous BC request, so I don't believe it needs to be noticed for 14 days by the membership.
Steve, this is Chris. Real quick, I know that Chantel has reached back out to ICANN, pertinent ICANN staff, to make that point sort of informally. So I'm happy to do a more formal thing as well if we want, but maybe we want to, maybe Chantel, if you have any news on, if any feedback has been given to you on our follow-up, that would be helpful now, but we can certainly talk more about this going forward. But to be clear, we have done at least an initial follow-up since that email was sent to us.
Chantel writes into the chat, Chris, that no follow-up's been given, but Chantel, does that mean that did you follow up and get no reply? Okay, so Chantel, would you forward us whatever email or communications that you did, and then I guess we'll have to follow up with a letter from Chris. You know what, Chantel? Send it to the full BC private, not just to XCOM. Wonderful. And because whatever words you used, it might be that, and by the way, if there's someone on staff, Chantel, that you're friendly with, it'd be a great chance to say, look, this is escalating in the BC because you haven't replied. Please reply so we don't have to go through this. I mean, if you make that request today, there's a chance you'll get a response. I'm just waiting for Chantel to finish typing. Okay. All right, Chantel, thank you. And Denise. So back to Channel 2 on the policy calendar. Before we turn it over to Phil and Susan, I did want to note that we've got in here the agenda for the council meeting, which occurs at 12 UTC today. The agenda is in here, and there are no motions on the agenda, just discussion. So Susan and Phil, we don't think we have Phil on the line. So Susan, go ahead. There's Phil's as well, either one of you.
I'm on the line, Steve, but go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Phil. We had the call this morning with 5 a.m. my time, but and so there was some interesting discussion that I thought was important. And Phil, anything I don't cover, please
sure.
Pitch in. So the CCWG on internet governance, Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc gave a presentation, and there are some concerning things going on in ITU and IGF in general, one of which is some countries are claiming that IP addresses are not allocated fairly, and they want, they're asking for control country by country to allocate instead of regional, which that would be a concern, in my opinion, at least. And there, some of the countries that were sort of not in favor of that are sort of coming to the middle and supporting some middle ground, and that seems dangerous. So it's something we need to keep an eye out for. He also thought that the reason that they're suggesting the middle ground is just to due to a lack of knowledge. And then there's also a call for DNS resources to be international governmentalized. That was his wording in his document. So the A route to be taken away and moved over to Geneva to an international framework. And that's about all he really said. There wasn't a lot of detail there. But those two things could be, you know, could definitely minimize IANA's control. And so we should keep an eye out for that. And anybody that participates in ITU or IGF maybe could lend a hand in educating those that may not have the knowledge they need. I don't know if there's a discussion on that at all, if anybody wants to add anything. The other thing I did mention already was that the GNSO Council is going to provide comments on the bylaws, IANA's bylaws. So Phil and I will work on that with Paul McGrady's doing the first draft. So it might be helpful just to send our first draft, our draft over to him. I had a question, though, for you, Steve. There's the Customer Standing Committee, the CSC, and there will be an opportunity to have one GNSO counselor as liaison, and it has to be a non-registry. And I was wondering how important or integral it would be to have someone more from the CSG than for the NCUC or the registrars.
Hey, Susan, so that question was for me. So I'd respond that I think it would be valuable. That the naming, I mean, the registrars are obviously going to be very interested in getting that GNSO slot on the Customer Standing Committee. But if there's an opening, I certainly think that the CSG would prefer to go after that rather than allowing it to go to an NCSG, a non-commercial stakeholders group. So it'd be my view that the registrars are the logical choice to get that, and if they're not pushing hard for that council-oriented seat, the CSG should find a way to get it.
Okay. And then, so I'll make sure that we keep an eye on that. I guess that has to be formed by July 15th, so it probably will be a bigger topic in Helsinki. The last one on my list was that the IRT for the FICHU is that is already combined with the RDAP IRT is now suggesting that the translation and transliteration of WHO is be combined into one single IRT, and because there's a lot of interdependencies, but there wasn't much support for this, which I was really glad the registries and the registrars pushed back. The FICHU was approved over three years ago, I think, and sent to the board for implementation, and it might be implemented in the next 6 months to a year, but only if RDAP's ready, and there's some debate of whether RDAP is really ready yet. There's no policies really surrounding development surrounding RDAP. So my viewpoint is that adding another set of issues to this IRT to be
be combined is just going to push everything off for another 6 months to a year, which then we're going to be close to, well, where's the RVS, you know, working group? Do they have recommendations ready? Maybe we should push off and wait for that. So I think we need to fix who is now as much as we can, and then also continue down the stream of work stream of, you know, of the next generation RDF. So those were that was a concerning issue on today's call too. But there was a lot of pushback. So Phil, anything else that I didn't cover?
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Just a few quick things I'd add. First, toward the beginning of the council call on the consent agenda, they confirmed the three co-chairs for the RPM review working group, which is myself, J. Scott Evans, and Kathy Kleiman from the NCUC. There was some discussion of meeting B. There may be some groups want to see if any time can be carved out where they can meet together or collectively, and there's also a desire to have a see if we get a council meeting with the board at some point in that meeting. But overall, folks seem to be pretty satisfied with the way meeting B is shaping up, with a heavy emphasis on policy, which is what it's supposed to be. And I circulated on the BC list a few hours ago the latest version of that schedule. The only thing I have to add to the what Susan said about the internet governance discussion, it's that's becoming clear that the IANA transition has not completely blunted the pressure from what we refer to as the usual suspect governments for an alternative to IANA within the ITU, and that needs to continue to be monitored, of course. And let's see. And there was some discussion of the Red Cross, and there may be an opportunity at Helsinki or shortly after to resolve the Red Cross concerns, which are a separate issue from more general IGO issues. So that's all I had to add on the council call. Again, there were no votes on this morning's call, and the next council meeting is in Helsinki. Thank you.
Jimson, do you have your hand raised?
Yes, Chris. I just wanted to chip in on item 5, internet governance, let us know that I've been appointed into the working group on enhanced cooperation, that is the CSTB working group on enhanced cooperation. This is part of the engagement that we talked about, so you need to be on the lookout, and I can assure you about that. The pressure is still there, as Phil and Susan noted, concerning pressure for an alternate the organization in place of ICANN, but just to let you know that, yes, this process started, and I've been appointed to be in that working group, and will be quite watchful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. Susan, Phil, anything else from your side?
Not from me, but okay. Jimson, no? Glad you're working in the IGF.
Yeah, nothing further on council, Chris.
Do you want to turn to channel 3? I guess I can.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll pinch it for Cheryl again. Really, only sort of two things of note. There was a one we had is a call on May 9th with the sort of leadership of the different commercial stakeholder groups, constituencies, to with ICANN staff to discuss their respective comments on ICANN's budget. I'll let Jimson talk more about that when we get to him. Jimson was the lead on that on the call and provided input. There was a follow-up question Follow-up question from ICANN staff on a suggestion in our comments regarding better clarity into compliance efforts from contract compliance office, et cetera, with registries and registrars. And we're trying to we're working on getting a response to them on that issue. And I'll let Jimson talk more about that when he's up. And then just secondly, with regard to, for meeting B, the commercial stakeholder group leaders will be having a call on May 17th to sort of finalize to what extent the CSG will perhaps be meeting during meeting B. As of now, there's nothing scheduled, but there is thought being given to doing a CSG meeting at some during one of the lunch breaks for meeting B. I should say that the BC, we're currently scheduled, the BC at least has requested space to meet on Monday during the lunch break on Monday to have a BC meeting. So if there's going to be a CSG meeting, it would occur hopefully, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday during the lunch break. But really the lunch break seems to be the only real good time to do any sort of meeting. So I'm still sort of talking with IPC leadership and ISP leadership on how best to do that. In addition to that is also discussion about whether or not and to what extent we can do a CSG sort of engagement with the GAC in lieu of a breakfast, because a breakfast just wouldn't work for this meeting since all the working sessions begin at 8 a.m. It would be too difficult to pull off a breakfast with an early work day. So we're also exploring the possibility of maybe trying to do a lunch instead. But that's something we'll have to hammer out on our call May 17th. I know we have to get back to Glenn by May 18th for any requests. So we'll hopefully have more on that next week. But that's what's calendared for now from the CSG side of things. Any questions from folks on that? Okay. Jimson, perhaps we could turn to you then.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much. My presentation. Okay, why she brings it up? Yes, we did engage with the ICANN finance team on Monday. Chris and I provided some at least one response, one clear response to one of our issues raised, and also requested for clarity, as Chris mentioned, on some requests. So on the screen, you should have a link with regard to, you can see the link where we did ask a question about external auditors report on ICANN finances. So we pointed to the link where you can get all the previous external auditors report on ICANN finances. So that's one. And then two, they requested for clarification on the particular comment we made on item two on the general observation. Item two on the general observation in the draft 517 operating plan and budget and 5-year operating plan. So our comment on that item two stated that the BC knows that management instruments are provided to the community through periodic reports on the range of operation concerns. However, we observe that there is no report on registry and registrar compliance with signed agreements. So these are key metrics that should be regularly reported. So I drafted this, and it was on the backdrop that a number of members have complained many times that of our issue of compliance, extra-compliance. The question was posed, what report and data is the BC team looking for? So can you please share the explanations and the metrics you want compliance to regularly report on? So when I drafted this, I had in mind that at least just this reporting that, okay, they are following the agreement by total percentage, maybe by 95% or by the 50% compliance and so on and so forth. So here is the background to that observation or comment. That is point 18, item 4.4, in which I commit to promote more clarity and establish mechanisms to increase trust within the ecosystem rooted in public interest, and so on and so forth. So providing that kind of report will further build trust and confidence. So back to members now, what specific metrics based on that question do we ask for? If it is to be provided concerning registry and registrar compliance.
So, Jimson, this is Chris. I think
you can also take a written comment.
This is Chris. Just to clarify, I think you're seeking BC input on how best to respond to ICANN's question. Is that correct?
Very correct.
So perhaps maybe we take a look at that question for those and see what what input we can provide Jimson to properly respond to ICANN staff and give them some more clarity on what exactly we're talking about on that. So folks, if not on this call, because we are getting to the end of the hour. If not on this call, perhaps people can send Jimson feedback, sort of emailing the BC private list, but including Jimson and then making sure we have information that we can provide staff on that.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Members know that invoices for FY17 will be going out by end of May, and I want to thank all those members that contributed to their input in the BC FY17 proposal. So it's still before you, so more suggestions are welcome. With respect to operations, we're still in the testing stage for the new BC website, and that's the link there. So we project that to be activated before the end of this month. We're currently on another platform, so we're going to migrate to MembersClick platform. But so far, the process is going through smoothly. Then also to remind us of the upcoming charter review called the 34th, and for members, take some moment to review the draft new business charter. I want to use the opportunity also to appreciate all members of the charter review committee led by Andy. Thank you, Chris. Back to you.
Thank you, Jimson. Any other clarity questions for Jimson? Any other further thoughts on that? Well, if not, then we can go ahead and move to any other business. Just real quick, we'll have our next call in 2 weeks' time, on May 26th, hopefully that time we'll also have a much firmer sense of what will be taking place with regard to the BC and the CSG during meeting B, and we'll know as we get closer to the end of June and Helsinki. I should note as far as meeting B, for those that may not know, the ICANN just, I think, early this week post list of hotels that they've negotiated rates with. I know they've been unavailable for a little while, but now they are available on the meeting webpage. So for those that have not yet booked their hotel, I suggest you go, and Chantel's kindly put the link up in the chat room, so you can go there now and find the list of hotels and book accordingly. Also wanted to remind folks that you received, I guess, a week ago from me, the updated charter for your consideration. I know Andy Abrams also had a follow-up email to that. So please, if you haven't already, take a look at that document and Andy's email. As I think I mentioned, we're going to have a call on May 31st at 12 noon Eastern time, I guess that's 16 UTC, to just devoted to looking at the charter and answering questions people may have about it and so forth. So please do take a look at that. It's a very important document, very important for the BC. This is a not something that's done often, so it really is important that folks take a look at it and provide feedback and input so we can finalize this in the near future and put to bed the very hard work that many have done on this over the years. So just again, a reminder, on May 31st, we'll have a call on that. That is it for me. Anyone else have any other business or thoughts or issues that they'd like to raise?
Just one from me, Chris.
Sure.
I think Chris is there, yeah.
Thanks, Jimson, too. On May 24th, the U.S. Congress Senate Commerce Committee will be holding a hearing about the ICANN and IANA transition, and that is the committee on which Senator Ted Cruz sits, and we are assured that he will be there for that hearing. And again, he's got plenty of political issues that don't have a lot to do with the domain name system, but it will certainly be a very lively hearing. I've been invited as a witness and have accepted. There will be at least one from CDT, that's the Center for Democracy and Technology. We'll also have a witness, David Gross, who's got many clients among the members on this call, but ICANN is also one of his clients. And I don't know about the other witnesses, but we can expect that there may be one or two that are very opposed to either the timing or the even idea of the transition itself. So that should be a lively hearing. I'm appearing on behalf of NetChoice, not on behalf of the BC, but happy to keep all of you informed and try to articulate the BC's perspective.
Thanks, Steve. Worth noting for sure. That this, I think, as Steve knows, the expectation is this hearing will certainly be a little more lively, shall we say, than the hearing that occurred in March right after Marrakesh. In no small part, as Steve mentioned, because Senator Cruz will be present and will be sure to make his points clear during the hearing. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Any other thoughts, issues from folks? But seeing none, then I will give everyone 10 minutes back of their time. And thank you all for being here, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks. And XCOM, we'll do a quick call. Just give us a couple minutes. We'll do our call early. Thanks, everybody.